SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Churchill Downs, welcome to Therapy, as they call it. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, for listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebick.com. And as expected yesterday, we got exactly what the weathermen were promising. If you were watching, the delay and the very predictable to some degree, you can't come to Louisville and not get what we got yesterday. Today looks a little better than I think anticipated. There'll be rain off and on, and I assume turf is scuttled for today, but we'll get those details as the morning progresses. The racetrack could not recover to be fast, as great as this track dries, and there's no place like it. It couldn't recover this morning, so you had a sealed surface for the Derby Oaks training session, and a lot of our clocking conversation will fill out today with Mike Welch and Gary Young in this hour. We'll get both of them and get their final thoughts, because tomorrow is an abbreviated training session, and some horses, Derby horses will come out for light work. Might get a couple of Oaks horses that actually come out early morning, but it's typically a very subdued day. And for those that were watching my tweeting during the session, I've been trying to put out little clippets during the 15-minute session. And no sooner had I said that we expected a pretty moderate, pretty kind of just light morning of work, given the way the track was wet and sealed down. No sooner did I say that than the two McPeak Oaks and Derby contenders came, I said, rampaging. And I wasn't kidding. If you haven't seen the little video, it's kind of it's pretty funny. I couldn't get the camera back up to get King Fury, but crazy beautiful. I think I've brought her up two or three times already this week. I mean, crazy beautiful is, and I'm not going to say she's on edge because she doesn't feel that way. She's just feeling good. She's just high energy and is, not ready to run off, but she is as eager and as content out there as you could possibly want a horse. And it's funny, I said something to Gary Young, and he'll probably echo it when he joins us later this hour. And he said there hasn't been an Oaks or Derby horse all week and over the last 10 days that has been more high profile from that standpoint. And there's always one, very frequently there'll be one horse from either race that you have a hard time putting in, projecting into a win, but that just impresses you. And they worm their way into your heart and into your mind when it comes to the way you're going to approach the race from a betting standpoint. We'll be doing a lot of that, obviously, these last 6 hours of Derby coverage. And let's see what we got lined up, because It's been a busy morning and an early morning. And, Gary and Mike Welch will check in with Tony. We'll get Tony's opinion on his Derby selection. Marcus Hirsch is going to visit. Tom Law is going to be here. The third leg of the ThisIsHorseRacing.com tripod. Nick Tamaro for our usual Friday card survey. And in addition, I just was exchanging notes with Nick. We'll certainly look at the Turf Classic and the Derby win candidates for those that want to play the Oaks Turf Classic Derby pick three and your Oaks Derby double selection. So when it comes to the full Saturday card, Nick and I'll go through it together tomorrow, you know, including the undercard races. And I've pretty much done, I think I'm through eight, or I think I've written up eight or nine races so far. I will have I'm going to shoot for, let's say, 3 o'clock. I'll have the Friday card posted with my, at the very least, you'll have the selections themselves, the tabs, and some of the, we'll see. I sometimes wait for the scratches, but on Friday it's always hard because by the time I get off the air on Friday, you've had two races in the books already. So I will try to get even the multi-race plays, I will try to get them tonight as well. All right, and then we'll do the same thing. We'll have the full Saturday card posted at stevebick.com. I'll try to do the same thing for the Saturday card by tomorrow afternoon, like 3-4 o'clock. So that's on my end. And when it comes to those multi-race wagers, I'll have this conversation with Nick. I think it's gotten so that there's almost too many. And of course, in the sequences where there's overlap, it's one thing if you've got a firm opinion and an opinion you really would be surprised to not be successful in an overlap race. But for instance, tomorrow you've got a pick five starting in race one, then pick four in race two. Then there's a second pick five, which starts in race three right away. Races 3 through 7, which ends with the Edgewood. Now, there's people that are going to lean heavily on Aunt Pearl. Okay, I understand, but I'm seasonal debut and so forth. I don't know. That's another thing we're going to do here over the next 2 days. We're going to highlight some of the lowest priced horses and whether they are in fact horses that you can lean on. For instance, in the La Troyenne, She Dares the Devil's 8-5. I don't get it. Okay, she won the Oaks. Beyond that, she's not, she's not appreciably better than certainly Dunbar Road, and a case could be made that there's a couple of horses in here, including Saninas for Michael McCarthy, Envutante, Paris Lights, Finite. This is a very good edition of the La Troyenne, and wasn't it this race? I was looking at Finite minutes ago, and wasn't this the spot where She's a Julie busted up a lot of multi-races? Was that 2 years ago? Yeah. So I want to do that survey of the low-priced horses and how reliable they may or may not be. Maxfield in the Ali Sheba. Can Maxfield win? Of course. But 4-5? I don't. Roadster. What's wrong with Roadster exactly in here? That's actually this morning when I was early when I was typing things up. This came to me and they said, we really should waltz through these and get a feel for who may be you know, more vulnerable than, you know, if you got a small bankroll, you know, sometimes you have to rely on those horses and hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. And they let you get away with that. an homage to Shirley MacLaine. If you had Shirley MacLaine on your bingo card for today's show, you're a winner. we'll also talk to Gus. Gus is going to visit in hour three. And, of course, Gus's analysis for Friday and Saturday available at BrizNet. So, you know, it's not fair. And Rich Eng, too. We'll get some overwrap thoughts from Rich in hour three. And his analysis, of course, available at BrizNet for the weekend. So I always, and Dick Powell, too, this morning. I always, you know, I can't really, you know, people buy, you know, the analysis. So I can't, you know, in all fairness, you know, ask them to reveal, you know, too much. Right. So but they'll provide some insight. Right. All right. Let me make sure I get Dick, because I almost forgot for a second that it was Thursday. So there you go. And at some point we still have to get, of course, we'll talk to Jay Privman tomorrow and Marty McGee, Dave Grenick, too. We have to get to. And Hammer and Jimmy Ventura, the Matisses, and Duke is going to be here, actually. So we'll maybe we'll see Duke in person. And John Nichols is going to check in with his picks and his opinions from the clocker stand tomorrow. And actually, a very nice handicapping contest has come to the fore. I'll give you some of the details later this morning, and a charity contest where you pick races 1 through 12 today and races 1 through 12 tomorrow. I'll give you the email to send it in, and pretty much a whole bunch of people have jumped aboard, and it could raise a lot of money. Whoever wins gets to designate the charity of their choice, their racing charity of their choice. So it'll be very cool. I'll text the details out or email, whatever, tweet the details too. And I'll give them when I pull up the email address. It's going to be fun. And also I'm trying to get this done for today. At some point, this morning, or actually after I get off the air, I've got our web people, in Florida working on that Big Four, and Form to Win is going to sponsor that. And we'll have $1,000 in prize money, and you pick one horse in each of those four races. You know, I played around with different formats, but we're going to keep it very simple. You're going to pick one horse in the Edgewood, in the Eight Bells, the Pat Day Mile, and the American Turf, the three-year-old races for girls and boys, and beside the Oaks and Derby. And if there's a single winner, if only one person hits the pick four, they'll get the whole $1,000. If it's up to, you know, up to five people, if it's a bunch of people, if you know, the thing gets hit high, wide, and handsome, we'll have a drawing. You know, four people would win $250 each. So we'll give away some money, which will be fun. And I'm trying to get it formatted so it's easy for you. And I'll have details on that certainly by later today. So there's a lot going on, in other words. Yesterday, I mentioned you know, what was going on yesterday here. And before the weather rolled in, we got some things done, including how about our man John Enos coming back again, wins another two-year-old race, Molly Kate, a Tapizar filly for Matheson Racing and Lori Fagali, won well, took control early and went off. And then, you know, the rain came, there was the delay, they took the seventh off the turf, and so, you know, things kind of went sideways at that point. But yeah, allowance win for Shug, and Mr. Farish with Kind Ways on the race that came off the grass. He's in charge for Al Stahl and Paul Braverman and partners. The Candy Ride Colt won the three-quarter allowance. And then in the stake, Averly Jane continues the Wesley Ward assault. It's unbelievable. This is Hat Creek Racing, and Averly Jane didn't break great, but Tyler Gaffleone, who took over for Joel Rosario, Gaffleone, you know, eased her into it, and she took control, and she wins at 1-2. This is a midshipman bred by the University of Kentucky, and that's kind of cool. I love those. I love the state college, you know, the university state programs. I think it's so cool when those horses do well. And then today, for, you know, for the Thurby action, you've got the Unbridled Sydney, which is supposed to be on the grass. We'll see. I haven't even looked, but we'll check. And same thing with the Opening Verse on the mile. So we'll get those details when I can. And I will also, I printed out the PPs for Belmont for this first carryover in the new style, old-fashioned pick six. Races 4 through 9 today. It's got 61,000 in the carryover pot to start it, start the sequence. And I checked, what, yesterday or day before even, and I'll check again in Elmont. You know what? They might, depend on how much rain they got. If it came in overnight, there is clearing all afternoon. So we'll watch and see if New York is going to get, those turf races, because 4 of the 6 in the carryover sequence, are on the grass. Nick's doing, posting picks for, In the Money. And so Nick has looked at it. So when we talk to him at 11, we'll know more about how that sequence is sitting. And I would imagine, figure what, 3.5? Yeah, figure about 250,000 or so. So this should get up in the $350,000 range, I imagine. They got started. I've been trying to keep everybody apprised of other racing elsewhere around the country, because don't live by Derby alone. Evangeline underway as well, and Arlington will start tomorrow. And this is going to be a very difficult season for everybody, I think, and they're with the assumption that that Arlington will not be around after this year. They start tomorrow, and actually Marcus Hirsch is going to be here, so I can even bring that up with Marcus as it happens, right? All right. A couple of other quick hits before we we're going to actually call Gary. Mike is going to be here, but Gary is on the other side, and he said, you know what, call me instead in case he got hung up over in the clubhouse. So before Gary Young joins us, let me mention a few things about the weekend, because by the end of the day today and into tomorrow, it will be they'll slip through the cracks. Saturday at Santa Anita, the Señorita and the 1 mile, 3-year-old filly race came up very good. 11 fillies involved in here, and that's a pretty nice group. You look forward to that. There's an interesting maiden race going a mile on the grass as well at Santa Anita Saturday. There's a smaller group in the Angels Flight that they only got 4, but they went ahead and carted it. And it happens to be a very nice looking 4, including Richard Mandela, who has got a barn full of nice horses. And he's got 2 in here. He's got that Astute, who's cutting back from the Starlet, where she kind of stubbed her toe and sort of demonstrated that she may be much better off, at least for now, one turning. So Astute makes her three-year-old debut in this spot, and Richards also got Missy P, the Into Mischief Spendthrift homebred, who was a very flashy debut winner in March. Baffert's got Heels Up, who looks a cut below. She's cutting back, though, on the sprint side. And Keith DeSormo's got a first-out winner. Actually, Gary Young is I luck, and here he is. Casey, you might be on the phone with Casey. Gary Young decided to come and join us. That's great. So the Angel Flight. Gary, we'll get an early opinion on a race in California. Who, go figure, right? That's pretty funny. That I was talking about that. I did not expect you in person, but I'm glad you're here. This is, I know we only got four horses, but that's a nice, there's some nice fillies here.
Yeah, I mean, both Mandela fillies have always trained like the real deal. And I think, you know, Heels Up is probably going to be better on one turn than two, but I still think that's a Mandela exacta in this race, and these two fillies could definitely be this isn't a graded stake, but they could be on their way to grade one stake somewhere down the line.
Yeah, and even Baffert's filly turning back to one turn, probably that's what she wants.
Yes, I would think so, yes.
So, and I don't know if you, since I handed it to you, the Senorita's on the front page there, if you turn that around. That's a nice group, too, 11 fillies going a mile on the grass.
It is. I mean, I've been out of town for a long time, so I've missed a lot of works, but Madone last year was, she was definitely very nice. Nimbus Stratus, the jury's still out on whether she really wants to go a mile. She ran good second to Madone in her U.S. debut, but since then it might look like she's a little bit better around one turn. Closing Remarks is a good-looking filly. I mean, one of the Calbred taken on open, but she's done okay in the China Doll and Providencia. You know, Tetragonal, definitely a good second to Madone coming off a layoff. I've always been a Madone fan. From that post position, Callahan's definitely capable of firing off a layoff. I would probably make her my top choice in there. Yes.
Very nice. Well, there you go. You got some Santa Anita Saturday insights. New York, good news yesterday. I know people aren't fully satisfied with the way they're going to handle it, but Belmont and Naira opening up to fans. There's going to be several procedures. We'll worry about that next week in discussion. I'm not going to involve ourselves on that deal for now. Speaking of Belmont, the Westchester on Saturday and the Fort Marcy. Ask Tom Morley about the Fort Marcy when you get a chance, Gary. I think he might still have a ribeye on his forehead. Sheepshead Bay as well on Saturday.
I've been around so long, I remember when Fort Marcy was running. I mean, he was the king of the turf horses for some years back when it was a very strong division.
Well, and you know, the turf program in New York was ahead of the curve in terms of, and part of that was having the luxury of the two turf courses. Yes. At Belmont and the two turf courses at Saratoga. But of course, as we say all the time, American turf racing begins with Round Table.
Yeah, it does. It does. And these days, it begins with Chad Brown.
Very much so. I brought up, I'm going to talk about it with Marcus Hirsch, but you're a Chicago native, correct?
Yes.
What's your feeling with this, with Arlington, and how this is turning out?
If you would have told me when I was a kid growing up that one day there would be, you know, there would be one racetrack in Chicagoland, it would be Hawthorne, I would have told you that, you know, it wasn't, that's absolutely an impossibility, but, you know, I hope it doesn't happen. It's a very concerning situation. It is. I mean, you know, for years there was three Illinois tracks, and now it might be one. For years there were three Florida tracks, and now it is one. I know it's a changing business, and I try not to live in the past, but it was pretty concerning that you know, that these circuits are down to one track. I mean, one of the things that kept Florida, especially because it was going year-round, was the changing venues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and, you know, no matter, you know, no matter how nice a racetrack is,
you got to switch it up.
You'd like to. You don't want to be 12 months a year at the same track. I mean, the track surface, the turf courses, they need breaks. And
yep.
You know,
players. The yeah. Players need a break. Hammer's talked about this forever. Yeah. It's one of his, and also the willingness to take time off between meets. You don't have to finish one meet on Sunday and open on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday the next meet. You can take 7 to 10 days and let the horses refresh, let everybody refresh and get going. I mean, taking time between isn't going to kill anybody.
I obviously I've been based out in Southern California for years, and you know, our horse population and our field size issues are well documented, and I have been pretty vocal in years that I think that a two or three week break after the Santa Anita Derby, a 2 or 3 week break between the opening of Del Mar, and a 2 or 3 week break between the opening of the big meet at Santa Anita on December 26th would be the best thing for the California racing program. You know, for the people that do, you know, that like to bet every day and have action, there's a simulcasting world.
Of course, there's other, exactly.
It's not like they can't have action, but, you know, so far there's been a little progress, but probably looking at the field size, not enough.
In addition, I've already mentioned the Oaklawn stake that closes out the meet in Hot Springs. Gary revealed to us this morning he's never been to Hot Springs, he's never been to Oceanport, and he's never been to Gentilly, to the fairgrounds. So that's going to be my mission in life, to get him at those three venues. And I'm going to guess you haven't been to Middleburg for the Temple Gwathmi.
I haven't been there either.
Temple Gwathmi on Saturday, folks, as Joe Clancy told you yesterday, the first graded stake on the steeplechase circuit. Gary Young with us. And final thoughts, Gary. Let's start with tomorrow's action and the way the fillies come in to the Oaks.
I've always been one to look for some value in the race, but I've been very, very impressed by Malathat all week. We were at a barbecue last Sunday at Mr. John Nichols' house, and you know, the Wagyu meat was very, very good, as was everything else there. But Mr. Pletcher was there, and to say that he's confident in this filly would be an understatement. And everything that she has exhibited on the track this week kind of verifies that. I'd love to find something, you know, value and stuff, but I think that this is a time where you might want to try to take some exactas or some pick threes and everything surrounding her. But I think she's going to be a very tough filly to beat.
If and you know what, you mentioned the fun evening at John's last night. Was at the Wilkes's, and the Wednesday night Wilkes dinner party has become, you know, kind of started out very informally, and now has become you know, an institution. Ian said that he watches her in the morning. He said, whatever she is now will be way scarier later in the year as she matures. He said she is still immature, and she is going to be, if there's going to be a three-year-old filly to fear come distaff time, she's the one.
Yeah, she could definitely, she definitely looks like come Breeders' Cup time or Belmont Fall Meet time or whatever, that she definitely acts like she will be able to step up and play with the older horses, yes.
And I think Todd had a filly like this that was also one name. Started with an A and ended with an O. A Shadow comes to mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think as a three-year-old, the shadow was a little taller, but she also, you could kind of tell that she was going to fill into the frame a little bit more, and Malathad is just, she's, if you don't like her, then you don't like ice cream.
A price, a horse that is going to be double digits that gets a share in here and helps grow the ticket?
In the Oaks?
Yeah.
Asmussen's filly.
Which one? He's got the two. He's got Clairiere and Pauline's Pearl.
Clairiere, I've liked her all week, and I thought that she could, you know, for those that want to try to go exact as, I thought the Clairiere would, she's given off good signs, and Steve knows how to get them ready for these big days, so I would, I definitely would throw her in, because Malathat will probably be a pretty short price on the win end.
You would think at this point. I've been singing the praises, and in fact, I referenced you in our conversation this morning in the video I put up, where I called Crazy Beautiful rampaging. And it's funny. McPeak called me when I was sitting down here getting ready for the show, and he said, "Did you also get a picture? Or did you get any video of King Fury?" And I said, no, I couldn't. I said, by the time she got through, and then I went to post it, you know, it loads. And then I look up, and here's King Fury doing the same exact thing. And because he wanted to send it to the namesake, to this Fury, whatever.
Yes.
I forget his first. What's his first name? Teton Fury?
Yes.
Something
I believe
like that.
That's
yeah.
It. Yeah.
So Kenny's excited that he's coming. I guess Fury's coming to the Derby.
He's trained like a horse that could definitely, I mean, look, I don't know if he can win, but he could definitely make the superfecta or trifecta pay some, because I think he's coming up to a good race.
Well, and it seems like Crazy Beautiful, too. It is the type that is going to run a good race. If it's good enough to impact and get a share, that's up to
the bat. She's been high energy all week. I mean, she definitely acts like she's knows what's coming, and you know, she's acted very energetic.
There's your Oaks. And so for Gary, leaning heavily on Malathat, whether you're starting a Oaks Turf Classic Derby Pick 3 or, you know, part of the Grade 1 Pick 6, it looks like Gary's going to pretty much single in there. Let's talk Derby and the Derby horses, and then we'll catch any little interest along the way. But some pretty much, I mean, this is a lousy way to end the training week for us, because tomorrow there'll just be some light. It might be a little flurry here or there, but some thoughts about how everybody finished up their work.
You know, it's a very, very competitive Derby. Like, what's the favorite going to be? 5-1?
Well, but the you got the problem with the
Mattress Mac.
You got Mac. It's going to knock him down to, you know, as low as
So if you're against the essential quality, you're going to get paid if you pick the right
horse.
Yes,
indeed.
You know, I think the California horses are coming to the race well. I mean, Rock Your World is a good horse. He's built like a mile and a quarter horse. He's bred like a mile and a quarter horse, and I think he's going to run a very good race, providing he gets away from there and with the rest of the field. Not because I have a vested interest in the race. I think Medina Spirit's going to run a very good race. He is training very well for this race. By no means am I taken away from Rocky World Santa Anita Derby. That was an inside speed track that day, but he seems to be improving by leaps and bounds. And I think Hot Rod Charlie is coming to the race well also. He's coming because of the spacing. Still got a little bit more time than most horses usually have for the Derby, but he seems to be thriving, and he's also proven he can win on the lead and he can come from off the pace. Nice horse. I think Southern California is going to do quite well in this race. you know, known agenda. He wasn't helped out by the Post. You always got to respect Todd. Mandaloon's a question mark. I mean, is he training well? Is he galloping well? Yes. It has been a long time since we've seen a horse win the Derby whose penultimate race before the Derby was as poor as Mandaloon's was, but he does have some very strong connections behind him. That's about where I am in the race. Look, essential quality, nice horse, very, very good connections. From a gambling standpoint, especially if this man unloads the kind of money that he's going to unload on him, in no means am I disrespecting the horse, but I'm going to be betting against him. I mean, if Mac unloads on this horse and he's 2-1 or 5-2, I think most gamblers are that they're going to probably try to beat him. I could see King Fury hitting the superfecta, like I said, for Kenny, and that's about my summation of the race.
There's people listening, Gary, that were hoping to hear their horse's name. In terms of, I haven't heard you invoke Hot and Dirty yet.
I'm trying to be politically correct this week.
You don't have to be. You can who's going to take money that you feel either ambivalent or you've got something of a negative impression from what we've seen.
You know, there's just certain preps that kind of left me empty. The Wood left me empty. The Arkansas Derby didn't send chills up my spine either. When Concert Tour, when the air went out of his balloon, those two preps, they did not send chills up my spine. And I would, if I play trifectas or whatever, I'm probably not going to be throwing too many horses out of those two races in. I could be wrong. I've been wrong many times before, but. I those two preps did not impress me.
Leaves us with Florida. So, you know, known agenda and super soup and sandwich leaves us with the Louisiana Derby and Hot Rod Charlie, who, you know, seemed to, once we got done with the Lexington and the Arkansas Derby, the 3 weeks from there to now, Hot Rod Charlie, it seemed, ended up getting kind of an acclamation, being near the top of the point standings, and, you know, and as everybody looked closer, it seems that some of the bloom is off that rose coming into Saturday.
You know, he took a while to break his maiden. I remember seeing him train at Del Mar. You know, he acted okay. He did not run to, he was 6-5 first time out and didn't run to the money. Then Doug put him on the turf a couple times, like he was kind of, you know, searching like what he might want to do. And when he broke his maiden against Parnelli in October, it was okay, but his come out race was the Breeders' Cup. Now, the pace that day very, very much flattered him in essential quality. It did. He came out of that race and took a couple months off and ran against Medina in the Bob Lewis. In that race, Medina was inside in a three horse battle, which is not where the pre-race plans had him. It looked like Hot Rod Charlie and Roman Centurion were going to go right by him at the top of the stretch, and they didn't. And at that time, I thought, well, you know, Medina was better than those horses. I kind of thought if they didn't beat him today, those horses aren't going to beat him. However, he came back and trained really good for the Louisiana race. I bet on him in that race. I thought he would win that race. I was a little surprised Joel put him on the lead, but at no time did he look like a loser, and he won that race. His workout since then, the other day, I punched that up on video and watched it. You couldn't knock it. And, you know, that's why I'm feeling that Southern California is going to be okay this year in this year's Derby.
By the way, you mentioned Joelle, and we should take a minute and touch on something that going into Keeneland, it caught my eye. And I've got Joelle's mounts for the 2 days, Friday, Saturday. And then I did the same thing for Irad. How about a word, and I know this rubbed some people the wrong way, but John Sadler had a long-standing relationship with Joelle Rosario. And to land Rosario on a horse that is clearly one of the horses to beat, and if not the horse to beat, in Rock Your World for those that are taking a stand against Essential Quality. Have you ever, in your long history around this game, seen anybody do it better than Ron Anderson?
You know, I've known Ron a long time. He's a good friend of mine. He generally makes the right choices. You know, in D. Wayne Lucas's heyday, he used to take winners off after riders off of winning races all the time. I mean, it's part of the business. You know, probably didn't make Scotty McClellan or Rispoli's day to get taken off of the horse. But once Concert Tour failed to fire in the Arkansas Derby, you know, you kind of thought that this might happen. It's part of the business, you know. I mean, look, jockeys and agents take off of horses all the time, you know. So when it's a trainer taking a jockey off, it's generally not a big thing. But when it's a trainer taking a jockey off of a Grade One winning Kentucky Derby prep in the Kentucky Derby, all of a sudden it gets a lot more attention than if it happens in a $25,000 claimer on Thursday. You know, Ron generally makes the right choice. He knows that Hot Rod Charlie has a chance in the race, and there's a chance that he might have taken off the Kentucky Derby winner, but, you know, he's going with his gut. And as you touched on when you posed the question, you know, when Rosario was based in California, one of the guys that helped make him at the start of his, when he was, came down from up north and made, helped make him a star in Southern California was John Sadler. And, you know, it's part of the business.
Well said. Well said. We didn't have a cacophony of, you know, we didn't have a Greek chorus over the years in this sport to critique the people who make a living doing this. Whose livelihoods and financial interests and motivations for being in the game are involved.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to reiterate those points. There it is. So, Gary, Rock Your World, Medina, some King Fury, and who was the fourth?
Hot Rod Charlie.
That's right.
Yeah. The three California horses and King Fury is a long shot. If you wanted to box four horses, I think it'd be the way to go.
There we go. All right.
But obviously this year's Derby, it's more about having a representative in the race than gambling, unlike the Animal Kingdom Derby and stuff like that. But I mean, it's I'll probably be invested in the mutual pool also.
Gary, on that topic, and anything else catch your eye? You know, either you know on workout patrol or some horses that you know along the way as the winter goes into spring, we always, you know, latch on to horses that we know if they show up here, we're going to bet. Any undercard opinions?
Not really. I haven't really done a whole lot of looking. I've been pretty much zeroed in on the Derby. I'm going to get the PPs and go over the two cards. I haven't done a whole lot of work on it. It's nice to know that this racetrack that dries out so good, it's supposed to rain all day today, but the way this track dries out, we should have normal racing dirt track for Friday and Saturday. The turf, depending how much it rains today, the turf might be a little abnormal tomorrow, which is no knock on the turf course, but because it's supposed to rain pretty hard today. It is.
Well, Gary, as always, I appreciate it. And the you know, the interests of Zidane Racing, and certainly rooting for you. And
Mr. Zidane lands here today at 1 o'clock, and his pulse will be racing. I can tell you that this is what he lives for. He explained it to me when I went to work for him that it was very clear from the outset that the Kentucky Derby is his obsession. In it's nice to have a contender in the race, and we hope to do that for a long time.
When you said that, it makes me think to note for those that have already asked, Satish Sanand, speaking of Derby obsessive, Satish will join us tomorrow at 10:30 for his, typically he does the Oaks, the Turf Classic, and the Derby, the pick three. And so we'll get Satish's look. But, you know, it's funny because that was what he wanted. I mean, more than anything, he wanted a Derby. And he had some very good horses that could have impacted the Derby. It didn't work out. He had all tremendous success in the Breeders' Cup. I mean,
yes.
It was bizarre.
Yes.
It was all the Breeders' Cup success and couldn't, and had a horse in Vindication that, you know, who knows what.
Yes. I mean, you know, I'm sure he was like what Mr. Zidane is like when I'm at the sales and I mentioned a horse that I like at the sale that's a colt. I know what the very next question is going to be is, could he be a Derby horse? I know what's coming. So at least I know what's coming. I know what the next question is going to be.
You going to play in the charity contest?
I don't know. I mean, I probably will, but
throw it up against the wall.
Yeah. This week, it's just been about this one race for me. It has.
Gary Young, everybody, always one of our favorite conversations and favorite people on the circuit, and particularly when we're here. And of course, you'll head to Timonium. You got orders to fill.
Yeah, I do. And I hope to do so.
Gary Young, everybody, always great. And the added benefit of some of the Santa Anita action on Saturday as well. You got an insight into the Senorita and the Angels Flight. So you've never been to those venues. I've never gone to the Vanac. What do they call that? The Angels Flight. The trolley that goes up the side of the hill.
Oh yeah, I thought they were named after the pants, the Angel Flight.
So ridiculous. I've never. That's one thing in LA I've never done.
Really?
Yeah.
You know. There's a lot of things to do out there.
That's for sure. But the Angels Flight, problem with Angels Flight is that every single like mystery show and thing on television involves. It seems like they set a murder in there. They had the Perry Mason thing was a murder. I saw some other. There was some. Oh, Bosch. Bosch had a murder on the Angels Flight. I don't know.
Think about Perry Mason. I always wonder how that prosecutor kept his job. He never won a case, and he always kept his job.
Hamilton Berger. It was. Did you watch? Did you see the Perry Mason? The one with the what's his name from the Americans?
No.
Oh, it's good.
It is.
Oh, it's great. It's like a pre-story. It's sort of like a Just Call Saul version of Perry Mason.
My girlfriend, she is obsessed with Just Call Saul. I mean, it's from Ozark to that.
There you go, Gary Young, folks. We'd sit here the rest of the morning. Mike Welch, don't know it. Thanks a lot. Thank you, our friend BP on Twitter, funicular. That's the word I was stumbling for. You know, we could do, Casey, call Dick Powell, and that'll fill in while we source Mike Welch. This is, you know, we'll do this, and immediately Mike will end up waltzing right over. Yeah, do that. All right, we'll get Dick in here, and I have it here, but I haven't discussed it from Sunday morning. I was up and was able to watch the last of the three group ones. I'm just digging through. It's unbelievable. I've had it here all week. And then when you need it, every evening when I get back to the hotel and in the mornings, I try to purge the PPs that aren't going to be necessary and just all the different things that we utilize. And there it is. Yeah, it's got to be in here. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unreal. All right. Well, we may just have to rely on Dick's, there it is. Beautiful. Thank God. Literally the last page we turn. Dick Powell joins us. Dick, good morning.
Happy Derby.
Happy Derby to you and to everybody. And Dick, I was trying to find my printout from Sunday morning, and they were good, the races. They were good, the group ones.
Yes, they were. We had three group one races at Hong Kong early Sunday morning. First one was the sprint, the Chairman Sprint Prize. That was the more wide open race. The favorite was the Japanese horse, Dannon Smash, who had come to Hong Kong in December and won that group one. Now he was back, 2-1 favorite, but he just kind of was flat. He never really had that kick. And the horse who did have the kick was Wellington, who's been kind of moving up the ladder, rating keeps going up, keeps running better and better. And he kind of put it all together when he ran down Computer Patch in the stretch to win by a length and a half and 108.64. So a nice win for Alexi Bedell and Richard Gibson. And Wellington just seems to be getting better all the time. And I think he'll be a major factor in the sprint races for the next couple of years. But he's just running fast times and consistently does it. And very professional race, sitting mid-pack and taking over and looked very good doing it. So that was our sprint race. The miles, which had Golden 60, who was the 1-5 favorite, he made his backers sweat it out pretty good because his stablemate, More Than This, came flying at the wire. Now, this race was a little bit unusual, Steve, in the sense that Golden 60 was the first to make his move. Kind of a slow pace. The middle fractions were a little soft. Vincent Ho wasn't going to have any of that, so he made his move even before they straightened away. He had the lead for most of the stretch, and then More Than This made a big sudden run at the end, and Golden 60 really had to dig in. He did hold on by a head. The time was 33.45, so the time was good. Another group one win for Golden 60, as he's now won 14 straight races. And big one for Vincent Ho and the local team with the local jockey, local trainer Francis Liu, winning the race and finishing 1-2 in the Champions Mile. And then the QE2 Cup, which is at 1.25 miles, that was the eighth race. That had a strong contingent of Japanese horses, and they ran 1-2-3. Now, maybe not in the order, actually 1-2-3-4. Maybe not in the order that I expected. Early in the week, it was announced that Glory Vaz was lame in one of his front legs. he obviously passed inspection. He raced, and he raced really good because he got second behind the mare, Love's Only You. And this was a great pickup mount for Vincent Ho, who just won the mile race on Golden 60. He picks up the mount on Love's Only You and wins it by 3/4 of a length over Glory Vaz. So Billy, I like Darren Track. Was third, just never really had a punch. He just kind of ran, I hate to say one pace, because they were going pretty good the last half, but wasn't able to make up any serious ground and threaten the leader. So Love's Only You, a daughter of Deep Impact. And when you do the pedigree on this mare, you actually come down to the third mare, which is Miesque.
So wow.
This one had a spectacular female side pedigree. The late Deep Impact is as good as it gets on the top side. So she certainly had a lot of things going for her and picked up the local rider, Vincent Ho, and Vincent has the career best day, winning
nice.
Two big Group 1 races.
That's yeah.
On Saturday. And then the other star of the night, Steve, if anyone stayed awake to race 10, is a horse named Courier Wonder.
Yep.
He was owned by John, trained by John Size, ridden by Joe Marrera. Now 4/4. Carried 117 pounds because he moved up to class 2, going 6 furlongs, and he was just the easiest winner. Like, just, you don't see many races in Hong Kong where in the deep stretch the rider hasn't
accelerated,
moved his hands at all.
Yeah. No, that was the race. I had just woken up, and that was about 15 minutes later, and it was super impressive. And I saw the reaction to it where people just said, here's a star in the making, no doubt. It was fun. I watched the replays of the three that, you know, the HKJC feed is great on Twitter. A fun Sunday morning. Dick, a couple, just really quickly, because I've got Mike Welch ready to go. I know I told everybody, you and Rich Eng and Gus, who are all visiting today, your analysis at BrizNet, but a quick over wrap for Oaks Derby weekend thought.
My over wrap is, in Todd we trust.
All right, so you're looking for a Todd, maybe even a Todd Oaks Turf Classic Derby pick three.
Not sure about that. Definitely Oaks Derby.
Oaks Derby. All right, so that's a hint as to where Dick is leaning. Dick Powell, everybody, and Dick's analysis at BrizNet. And Dick, we'll do some recapping next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
I appreciate it. Dick Powell, everybody, for the Hong Kong Jockey Club. And Mike Welch joins us. And Mike, it's Clocker Day. Did you see the picture from a few years ago that I put up?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. How did you miss this? I'm going to show it to you right now. There you go. That was the tweet.
That was a classic. That was a fun year when we did all those videos, and it started with Todd Pletcher just clowning around unsolicited behind the camera when Barbara was shooting me at his barn the first day we were out there. So, and everybody picked up on it. Everybody was asking if they could be in it, and Dale was definitely the star. But we had Jerry Bailey and Randy Moss, and Kelly Breen asked if he could be in it, and I think Norm Cassie did one, and on and on. It was terrific. Bill Mott. So it was a lot of fun. Everybody wondering who was going to be the guest the next day. So, but you can't top that.
When Dale came out with the jockey, with the helmet on and the crop I don't know if I captured somebody. I don't know if somebody. Maybe
that wasn't Barbara Livingston.
I don't think so. I think
from
it was
the video.
No. This is definitely a photograph, and I can't remember. I wasn't back there, so it must have been. It showed up today on my Facebook feed. So
nobody also saw was Tammy behind the camera making faces at me.
That's right.
Trying to
remember
to get me
that
to
too.
Crack up. You didn't need any help to crack up. Well, I didn't know what he looked like, that, to be honest with you.
Right.
He kind of snuck out behind me, and everyone else was laughing, including Barbara on the camera. She was, I couldn't stop to turn around to see until I was done. But that was terrific.
Well, I used it to let everybody know. The Oaks report is up at drf.com/clocker-report. And you'll have the Derby report up.
Hopefully the same time, even maybe a little early this afternoon. We've got reports. Stuff coming in from five other people, including a lot of info out of Keeneland from Mike Vesey and Donald Harris with stuff, and Dave Grenning stuff with New York, Toby Terrell out of Santa Anita, and Dave Norton helped out with stuff from Keeneland before Mike Vesey got there the final weekend. So there's six clockers that contributed to this report, and you know, everything I got to see here. I wish I could have been here longer. You know, I got here on the 17th. There were a bunch of good works on the 16th that I just, you know, didn't get here in time to see, unfortunately. But, you know, we can all only be in so many places at so many times. So, anyway, I hope everybody enjoys it, and the Saturday one will be just as full.
Well, and I'm in the middle of writing up the Friday card. I'll have it finished later this afternoon. I've got about eight races written up, and there's already been a couple of horses when I was sort of on the fence in terms of, you know, where I was going to lean, and you know, certain inclusions, you know, plus horses, you know, particularly horses that you like at a price that, you know, that otherwise maybe on paper, whether it's Figs or whether it's even Race Shape, you know, they're a little bit against them. And, when, you know, Caramel Swirl, for instance, is a good example, you know, coming off of, the maiden win and so impressively at Keeneland, and
look, away, you know, too much now.
Well, okay, there's that might be the only one. Let's turn to the big features, Mike, and Gary Young recapped his thoughts in the last
big
half
shoes
hour.
To follow for me, boy, I'll tell you.
Well,
following Gary Young,
you're about the same size.
I know who he has to pick, right?
He didn't pick me. He's got Medina in the mix, but
I'll be interested to see who he finally settled on.
Rock Your World.
Did he?
He went Rock Your World.
Okay.
He thinks all three California. He Rock Your World, Medina, Hot Rod Charlie, and then he threw in King Fury for a little price banger.
He duplicates the California bias is very strong. Jay Pridman went for the same three last night when we did our little seminar. Those are his picks. And even Annie Beyer has the Medina Spirit, and Hot Rod Charlie is his top two picks. So a lot of sentiment for the California horses. You know, you can get that bias when you see more of some of these horses and less of others. You know, you tend to be impressed by what you see in person a lot more than what you see and hear on either replays of works or from what other people's opinions. So, you know, this is the kind of race where, you know, it's maybe essential quality, and then underneath, if you think you can't win, there's about eight or nine for various reasons, whether they're workouts or trips or whatever, that you could probably put in a bunch, shake them up, and pull them out. And again, in the end, it's going to be the trips that probably you're very well could determine not only the outcome, the winner, but if you're playing those vertical gimmicks, how the rest of it plays out.
Well, let's with you. I'll do. I did Oaks and then Derby. Let's do Derby and then Oaks in our conversation, and then any other fill in the blanks. You know, has anybody disappointed, Mike? Or have you been a little surprised that somebody hasn't been as sharp as you would have liked or thought?
Well, I mean, the favorite essential qualities, you know, works here haven't been what, you know, we look for as to put in the outstanding category for sure. He's probably been less in his works than many others have been. Now, again, I caveat that by saying I've never seen him work before I got here. So that could just be him. And I don't really know. I'm hearing little different stories here and there about that, but you know, you really want to see him gallop out a little stronger than he did in his gallops. And how much is that is purposefully and how much is not. And that's just him. It's really hard to say. It looked like the rider, you know, was asking, you know, not asking necessarily, but not preventing him from galloping out at his best the other day. Brad Cox horses, you know, pretty distinctive by their strong gallop outs for the most part, whether it's the Derby horse or a horse that he's running in an A other than allowance. They seem to show the same kind of training, that's how they do it. But, you know, with essential quality, again, my first thought, I mentioned this before, when they crossed the finish line after the Bluegrass, is, wow, this race could have, you know, drained the tank just a little bit to come back in 4 weeks and go a mile and a quarter. Whether that's the reason the gallopouts haven't been as strong as maybe you would have thought, or certainly not like his stablemate Mandaloon, I don't know, you know, but Highly Motivated is another one who, you know, on the gallop out of his work was fine. Both of them, their works to the wire were terrific, but the gallop outs were just kind of average. And Highly Motivated is not, you know, I've mentioned in my reports, you know, just watching him train the last couple of days has not been, you know, necessarily what you'd like to see. And this morning he just jogged. So, again, is this a factor of the Bluegrass, or is it something else? I don't really know. It's hard to say, being up on the roof and not being back in the barn with him. But it's not something you really want to see, you know, a week out from the race. So, you know, my thought was to go against Essential Quality. He's going to be obviously an underlay, especially now that Mattress Mack is jumping in the picture here. He's going to be even less than what he would have been before. And I don't know if I wanted to take 5-2 on a horse that really doesn't tower over the field. And you're in a 20 horse field where anything can happen. So, you know, I made my picks against him. And if he beats me, I tip of the hat to him and Brad Cox.
Since you brought up the potential for that Bluegrass confrontation to sap one, or both, juxtapose him with Highly Motivated, because, certainly he has done very little wrong, is seemingly, you know, Chad's best, Derby chance yet.
Yeah, no, coming in like that, yes. But, again, not liking what I've seen, like, especially coming out of the work. You know, his work was fine. He didn't gallop out as strong as I would have liked. And then coming out of it, he's had, you know, he looks like he's not, you know, doing as well as he was going in. That's just my opinion. And I wasn't a Highly Motivated fan anyway, and part of it was that thought about the hard race in the Bluegrass 4 weeks out. You know, I mean, horses these days tend to seem to need a little more recovery time from those kind of efforts than 4 weeks. And now you're stretching to a mile and a quarter as well, so that makes it even more demanding. So, you know, for what it's worth, that's why I'm against those two. If they run 1-2, then I'll, you know, that so be it.
And plenty of
like we haven't been wrong before.
Exactly, right? And especially in this race where you know there's so many things conspiring sometimes against you know your selections and analysis. That leads me to an interesting point, and I'm kind of throwing, rather than anything prescribed that we're, you know, we wanted to do. I'm going to ask you, because you stress the gallop outs, and the gallop outs aren't just on works. There's also the matter of horses that are galloping and in some cases 2 minute licking, or, you know, going around, you know, easily and then finishing with a flourish. And in some cases, you know, we watch for this, horses that you know really are gaining momentum as they gallop, and at the end, the, you know, watching them, you know, either out of a work or watching them in their morning activities, mile and a half, mile and three quarter gallops, who's impressed you the most? Who, you know, who doesn't want to stop?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is King Fury, who had another terrific day today over the sloppy racetrack, but his work was great. He's had good energy going in and out, as has his Philly stablemate who's running in the Oaks. So coming to mind, him for sure. I really like what I've seen from Hot Rod Charlie. Unfortunately for me, we had to have our Derby picks in before I really got to see Hot Rod Charlie train here the last couple of days. And I confess, I would have moved him up in my selections after watching him train. He has impressed me. And I got to watch his last work on tape. It was good, very good. I know it was an inferior horse that he kind of readily pulled away from, but he looked like he did it easily, and it looked like his previous work was also very strong. So that's one I wish I had a little higher up in my selections. But again, I have this group of like six or seven, King Fury one of them, that just off their training, and if everything broke their way, maybe they can't win, but I think they can get in the number at a big price. So he's one for sure. Mandaloon has been really good in the morning. I've liked what I've seen from Mandaloon, you know, not just the workouts, but I like everything I've seen from him. Midnight Bourbon's been good. I like a lot of what I've seen from Midnight Bourbon.
He's in my best.
And that last work the other day, just atypical Steve Asprey said final work. Partly, I'm sure, because of the fact that he's 6 weeks between start. Partly, I think, because the horse is probably doing so well, he wanted a, you know, he didn't want to hold him back to a 50 and 3 half mile and yank him up into the on the gallop out. He let him run out a full 5/8 and actually a full 3/4 on the gallop out. So I like what I've seen from him too.
One thing that everybody has seen is him getting loose in a playful way in the barn area. They've seen him 2 days in a row, absolutely like a helium balloon. Oh, helium, like a absolute hot air balloon in the paddock. And I don't mean in a bad way.
It could be a bad way if he does it on Derby Day. I think that's something you might have to watch. You don't want him, you know, losing it and getting too keyed up in the paddock.
A la Thousand Words.
Before the race. So that's something I keep an eye on. I mean, it's a good sign in many respects, but it could be a negative too. So, you know, it's kind of crucial to watch and see what happens in the paddock, knowing that he has this propensity.
Anybody else that you didn't expect to have an affection for or be impressed by?
Yeah, Dynamic One is one.
Yeah,
I agree. Wood is a race.
I agree.
The Wood is a race that, you know, to me everything was an automatic throwout. It was a terrible, you know, to me it was just not a very good race. The figure speaks for itself. But he's been terrific since he's been here. He looks like a horse that's obviously getting better. And maybe will handle the distance too. You gotta respect that at a horse that's going to be 20 to 25 to 1. I really, really wish Known Agenda had done what he's doing. I mean, he would have been a no-brainer pick and bet for me if he had. I did wind up picking Known Agenda just on.
Did you?
He has just so many things I think in his favor.
Interesting.
Other than the post, but you know, you can't base your picks solely on workouts either. And he hasn't done anything wrong in the morning. He's looked good galloping on a regular basis. His works were good, not great. And talking to Todd and looking at the work reports and looking at his works that I saw before the Florida Derby, before a very good effort in the Florida Derby, that's what he did going into the Florida Derby. So you cannot penalize a horse for you know, working the same way he did before his best race. I would have loved to have seen him put the blinkers on him and, you know, work like Always Dreaming did before the Derby a few years ago. But Todd said, you know, he warned me going ahead before we left Florida. He said, you're not going to see him do that. And he was 100% right. But he's got a lot of other pluses on his side. I like the fact he's had 4 mile and an 1/8 races.
I brought that up yesterday.
He's won 3 of them. You know, obviously with the blinkers on, he's a different horse. He got a very good education in the Florida Derby. Down on the inside, get, you know, dirt kicked back on him early, swung wide, drew off. Again, the field, you know, not the best in the world, with greatest honor, obviously not firing his best shot. I mean, it was going into the race, it was a great confrontation between this one and Known Agenda and Greatest Honor, but obviously he did not, you know, Greatest Honor was not at his best. But still, you can't penalize Known Agenda for, he beat them all, you know. You can't penalize him for what was behind him. He did it impressively. He's got Irad, who's riding his well as anybody in the country right now. You might get an argument from the Joel Rosario fans there, but to take nothing away from Irad, he's just been terrific right from the start of Gulfstream and all the way through. So if anybody can work out a trip from down inside there from the one path, which we sort of are kind of guessing that the one path now with the 20-horse starting gate and with a little more room for him to maneuver when they break out of there instead of running right inside, right at that inside rail, might, you know, take away a little of the negativity from that post, but we'll see. But he had that trip in the Florida Derby where he was down inside early, got some dirt kicked in his face, was able to swing out and then kick on, and you just have to hope that, you know, Irad could find a way out from in there. But and he's going to be, you know, the fact that he's drawing the rail, and the fact that Mattress Mack is betting on the favorite, not using any handicapping scientific method. It's just, I'm going to bet the favorite $2 million. You know, instead of being 4-1 and 9-2, Known Agenda is probably going to be 6 or 7-1 now, I think. So you're going to get, at least you're going to get some value with him there. And if he, you know, gets stuck down on the inside, can't get out, gets shuffled back early. I mean, if he gets shuffled back to 15th on the first turn, he's not going to win. But hopefully that's why they're paying IRAD.
Well, and the more compact gate, the unibody 20 stalls, and the fact that it can be
moved out
more.
Further.
Yeah,
yeah. That's a plus. There.
It's a huge plus.
This might be a year where, you know, if you're willing to take that shot, that the new gate is going to make, you know, the one hole not as scary as it was, you're going to get paid a little bit for it. So
yep.
If you're willing to take that chance. I just think everything put together, weighing all the aspects, not just their workouts, I'm going for Known Agenda.
Very good.
I mean, again, he hasn't worked poorly. He just,
no.
You know, he hasn't.
He is who he is.
He's in the second level of works, along with essential quality, in my opinion, you know, like the B level as opposed to the B pluses and A minuses. But, you know, his whole body of work and everything else that goes along with it, I took a shot with him.
Rest of your top four.
I have Mandaloon second, just strictly off the way he's been training and just hoping to. That the last race was an aberration. I believe me, I'm not comfortable with that effort. And it's going to take hope he's the next Thunder Gulch. And I'm not saying he could win, but I think he's the price that could get in the number. Dynamic One I threw in at a price. And who was my fourth pick? Because I have a bunch in that category there. I'm trying to remember who the fourth one I used was. Because I have King Fury, which I did not pick him in. Because I only had four picks. Oh, Midnight Bourbon. Excuse me. That was silly.
Good job.
I passed him up.
Good job.
And but I got King Fury in that next level, and also Hot Rod Charlie.
All right. So for super high five players, we'll put little KF.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But if you want
that's fine.
Mix them all up,
sure.
In a pick four.
Super.
Yeah, going five deep in this race. You know, there's a lot of trips and luck that goes into whoever.
Exactly.
Between second and or third and fifth and sixth is probably,
yeah.
It's all going to be about the trip.
Final Oaks thoughts.
I think this is a pretty well-matched bunch. I a lot of people are conceding it to Malathat, it seems. I don't know, but I don't see her as a super cinch in here. I think the scratch of Ava's Grace, which did not surprise me, by the way. I think I made mention of her through the training. I think that helps Travel Column a little bit. It might make it a little easier her to get either out on the lead or get good position where you don't have the horse that's directly to your outside pressuring you as much as Ava's Grace might have. Now Mraz, who will now be outsider, does have a little speed herself, but I can almost see Travel Column getting loose in here. She's my top pick, strictly off. I mean, not strictly off. I mean, her form is her form. I mean, it's terrific, but her work. I really like that work on April 23rd. I missed the one on April 16th, which they tell me was very good too. But the one I saw on April 23rd, I thought was, you know, extremely good and an indication that she's sitting on her best race. But I'm going to throw in Crazy Beautiful as well. I know she didn't beat anything in the Gulfstream Park Oaks. Millie Foy was second. Millie Foy is a nice horse, but I think comparative to some of these other preps, it might have been a weaker race. But again, you can't penalize her for what she beat, and
sure.
She did it easily. It wasn't like she won, and I can only see her improving off that race. She worked really well going into that race. She was holding her own with Simply Ravishing. And coming out of the race, she's trained just as well. She looked terrific again this morning over the wet track. So I'm definitely throwing her in at a price. Hopefully Jose will be able to work out another sanitary trip for her at a big price.
Very nice. Excellent. So that's a nice mix, actually, Mike. And you're leaning on some horses that haven't really gotten a lot of mention so far. We got about 10 opinions logged.
I mean, a lot of it is a clocker basis thing. That's why
sure,
I'm here.
Sure.
But again, I did not. You know, use that strictly as a basis by picking Known Agenda on top. But, you know, when you got 20 to ones next to those horses' names, it's a lot easier to throw them in. And, you know, if not, we'll turn the page and we'll move on to the next race.
What, on the undercard, what races are you covering?
I have the Eight Bells, which is a terrific race.
It's terrific.
On Friday, and I have the Distaff Turf on Saturday, Got Stormy and Zofel. Rematch there, so hopefully the course will dry out by Saturday. That's the issue with a little bit with Got Stormy. She's
she likes it. She likes it.
She does not like it, the ground soft.
No,
she's won on soft ground going shorter distances,
right.
But at a mile, Mark thinks that that tests her a little bit. So if the ground has got too much give to it, he probably will scratch.
I think we'll be all right. What are you doing in that 8 bells? Because it's a terrific, terrific group. It looks like there's plenty of speed.
It really is, and there is. And the big question, day out of the office, talked to Mike Vesey, who saw that last work at Keeneland. He said it was super. It was super, but he caveated it in his report with, it's a pretty tough task. This is a pretty solid field that she's going into. I haven't really handicapped the race yet, per se, but there's so many ways you can go in here. Super Sensational, Mark Cassie toyed with the idea of, you know, for a while of running her in the Kentucky Oaks, and then when he saw who was going in, he decided to take the more conservative route. But, you know, she ran well in the Fairground Oaks, only behind Travel Column and Clarriere, and who I also thought worked extremely well and I think has a big chance in the Oaks. And she's 2 for 2 with 7/8 of a mile. So she's going to be sitting off what looks like a super fast pace. So without having sat down and really handicapping the race completely, I guess Super Sensational be the one I would probably take a shot with. But you got Calypso for Bob Baffert. You got the lightly raced Slumber Party for Kelly Breen, who probably should have be undefeated coming in here now. The aforementioned Day Out of the Office, it'll be really interesting to see how she performs off the long and longer than expected layoff with her. I mean, I wrote the story on the race. I mean, originally, if things had gone as planned, she'd be in the Kentucky Oaks today.
Right.
But she missed some training time, and it would have been too much to ask to just throw her in there cold, going 1 1/8 with that field. And I think Tim Hamm did the right thing by starting her out here. It's a long year.
I agree. And there's nothing wrong with this race. You know, in terms of getting started. Any other horses that don't have to be?
You know, to be honest with you,
haven't done all that handicapping yet.
It's all a muddle to me. I went through, you know, putting in the works and briefly looked at the work report for Friday, and now I'm starting on Saturday. Like one race blends in than the other.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I couldn't even remember sometimes which races are which day. I still have a long ways to go to finish the Saturday report. So. There are some horses on Friday. The last race on Friday is interesting. I think you want to look at the workout report for that. It's a maiden special weight race. I won't say much more.
Beautiful.
There's a couple in there that either I haven't seen or I haven't seen the reports on yet out of Keeneland and New York. But there's a couple in there that I've had that are pretty good.
And finally, Mike, your favorite or your biggest Derby success, your biggest Derby score?
Oh, Barbaro for sure, with Bluegrass Cat finishing second. That was a good one. And, of course, Animal Kingdom. If only Mucho Macho Man had gotten up for second that day, it would have been my biggest Derby score. But he finished third, I believe. And I think Steve Asmussen beat him with a horse I really didn't care for. That was one of those horses that really – I can't remember the name of the horse.
Was it Nero?
Not sure. It might have been.
Nero finished second around in that era.
It was a horse that I really didn't – love training. Watching him train in the morning was one of those kind that even I remember writing a semi-negative report, and I ran into the owner in the barn area one day, and he said, you're 100% right, you know. That's how he trains. And Barbaro, with Bluegrass Cat running second.
Bluegrass Cat killed me. And we've talked about this for years because Bluegrass Cat was a mess on Sunday.
I was just going to say, I mean, there's no telling the score could have been made if he had worked better the Sunday before. He had trained so well coming into that final work. He was just very subpar. I really liked him a lot coming out of the Tampa Bay Derby and the way he trained. And I remember going to Todd after that work, either that afternoon or later that morning or the next day, and it's like, what was that? And he said, I don't know. I don't know what to say. So I kind of used him a little less than I would have, and here he came for second. And, of course, I was happy that he was second because I had used him, and he was 25-1. But also I was, like, you know, hitting myself in the head because, you know, that was one kind of work that kind of – his works had put me onto him, and then that was a work that sort of put me off him. But, you know, for Suicide Protection, I had to use him. And,
wow.
It worked out.
It killed me. Killed me. In fact, now that I think about it, Todd has killed me twice with Derby runners of his that finished second, because Invisible Ink's second was also a disaster. I think I've told this story. We put together a 5-horse box, a 5-horse super box, and the fifth horse, we were down to Jamaican Rum and Invisible Ink, and I picked Jamaican Rum, who of course finished sixth. So I ended up basically isolating the top six finishers in that Derby and came away with virtually nothing.
Was Kimmel third with a big price horse that year too? I seem to remember we had good reports on both the second and third place finishes that year, and they were huge prices. Invisible Ink and one Derby runs
Monarcos,
into another.
It was Monarcos,
right?
Monarcos. Invisible Ink.
I want to say John Kimmel might have finished third.
How about Joe Orsino? Thunder Blitz?
No, I do not think so.
Fourth, Thunder Blitz?
That I don't know. I didn't.
The point given fifth. Point given fifth. Jamaican Rum sixth. So who was that? Who was third in there? I don't think it was Kimmel.
I don't recall.
Yeah.
I just remember it was a horse. We had both the second and third place horses at
Congaree.
Big price.
Congaree.
Okay,
Gus just texted me. That's right, Congaree.
Okay. Okay, like I said, they all blend into each other.
Well, that was my first Derby, and there were three of us: Barbecue Bill, my buddy Phil Melnick, and I, and we each put up $40, $120 ticket, and the thing paid $64,000. And I'll that beat bothered me for years and years. And you know what? Now that I think about it, it's probably the source of my not playing supers, if I had to suggest that.
That's probably saved you a lot of money down
maybe,
the road.
Maybe
as much as you would
maybe. Well, Mike Welsh will make you money this weekend. You absolutely will. Mike Welsh, everybody, and thanks, Mike. Always great.
Okay, good to see you.
DRF.com/clocker-report and DRF Welsh for all your clocking needs. We're going to also hear from Marcus Hirsch, who is potential. Oh, Marcus is here. And so we'll sit Marcus down. I know that Tony Black is waiting in the wings, so let's get Tony's opinion quickly. Tony, good morning.
All right, Steve, how you doing? I'll give you a quick opinion. I even sent you a text today. Did you see my text that I sent you?
I did see that you said, guess who I'm picking?
Yeah, guess who I'm picking. It was a picture of my car that I have in the garage. It's a kit car, a Shelby Cobra. Could never afford a real Cobra because I
have
millions now. But that's a kit car Shelby Cobra. I also got a 21-year-old XKR Jag, the first year they made the XKRs, in the garage. So I'm a car man. So who else could I come up with would be Hot Rod Charlie. But he's a versatile. That's why I sent you that. I said, guess who I'm picking? But I like him because he's versatile and he's got the experience to run that distance. I don't think that's going to be a problem. Post positions always play into everything. I don't think his post positions are all that bad. He's in the 9-hole. I think he can be real competitive. I think Known Agenda can be real competitive, and I think the new gate will help him. And you can't throw Essential Quality out of there. I mean, he's another horse that's run real well. I thought he was going to be favorite, but in my eyes, there's no strong favorite in the race. It's just a bunch of horses that all fit together, some of them better than others. But I really like this horse, Hot Rod Charlie, and Known Agenda with Essential Quality. Did you say there was a horse running today, real quick, named Roadster?
Roadster runs on the undercard on Friday. He's in the Ali Sheba.
Well, you know I'm going to have to like him, too, Roadster. Only because I'm a car man.
I love it. And Tony,
I'm the worst handicapper there is. The only time I had a good opinion of horses when I had double calls was if I rode both of them. Other than that, I'd go to Craig Donnelly or to the Ed Ragason sheets. And Craig Donnelly didn't know it, but he was like my second agent. I never even paid him $25.
That'll get back to him. Tony, before we go, explain what the first-time Derby riders are feeling. Marcelino Pedroza and Kendrick Carmouche, et cetera, that are Alberto Rispoli. How much are they thinking about it? How you know, how much are they watching, you know, film and what's their mindset these next 48 hours?
Well, the one thing I can give them is a piece of advice. The mindset is, of course, they want to know how the race is going to set up, and they want to know what the competition looks like. They want to know, well, you know, of course, you hope that they have some experience with their horse to know how their horse can handle a different change in the way the race sets up or the way it sets up. I want to tell them one thing. Don't over-strategize. Come out of the gate, ride, put your horse with you, feel he's comfortable. Don't oversend, don't overtake back, don't over-strategize. Race and ride with your sense, you know, that instinct. Because if you over-strategize, you usually outthink yourself, and you usually put yourself at a disadvantage. But you know what? You're in the limelight. And, of course, it's really neat to be the guy that's being focused on. But, you know, there's 20 of you out there. They're not going to focus just on you. Ride your horse. Put him into the race and go from there. Don't over-strategize.
Tony, I appreciate it, and enjoy Derby. We'll recap with you on next Thursday, and always fun. And one of the people like Rich Migliori that rode in the Derby, and in fact, Tony fourth on Classic Go Go, and a pretty heralded Derby at that.
Yeah, wound up riding it a couple times. I even was going to send you a picture where I rode the Preakness. One time, and I'm in the middle between Sham and Secretariat, and I was going to tell you, when I rode that race, it was only five or six horses in it, and I didn't over-strategize it, but the closest I got to those horses was in the starting gate.
Tony Black, everybody. Outstanding. Tony, enjoy it. We'll talk next week.
Take care. Love you, Steve. Take it easy, and keep up the good work. Bye now.
I appreciate it. Tony Black, everybody. Marcus Hirsch is here, and I'm going to go to Marcus in a second, but I got to take Casey. Can we do a 30-second just to do the breakup? Does that work with you? That's a yes. We're going to take a 30-second break, our only break of the morning, and we'll come back for the last 90. Marcus Hirsch next. We've got Tom Law, Nick Tamaro, Gus Alonso, Rich Eng, and that'll be enough, at least for this Thursday. Rain is still holding off, but I don't think we're going to get that lucky in that regard, but we're going to have a nice Friday and Saturday. Oaks Derby, we're live at Churchill Downs at the races. Sirius XM back after this very quick break.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Sirius XM Sports presents